PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week from Johnny O is a familiar face from a different space. His name is Mr. Dave Neville. You guys know him from his time at Callaway. Dave, it's great to have you, buddy.
Good to see you, Canadan. Yeah, a little different environment, but excited to chat with you today. And it's great to be connected with all the friends from THP.
Yes, sir. And we also have Marcus Ciccone, or Ciccone, as I've come to find out recently, depending on how classy or foreign you are. Marcus, great to have you too.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited because this is our second dive into the Johnny O conversation. We had a great time last year with Mr. Knott. And, you know, I think a lot of people have questions as we see the lineups expand from Johnny O. You guys are kind of killing it. We see a lot of collabs. Listen, I'm a big MLB guy, so I'm super hyped about all the Toronto Blue Jays stuff I see out there. But I think the best way to kick this off is to share with everyone what the roles you play at the company. And Dave, I'll start with you as a SVP of marketing. Not only what do you do there, but how are you enjoying the change?
Yeah, well, first of all, loving the change. Definitely miss my friends from Callaway, but it's been a great change. It's just an amazing brand to work with. It's been around, we're 21 years now. We just celebrated our 20th anniversary last year. So people absolutely love the brand, and that makes it fun to be the head of marketing. What I do, you know, I'm running the entire marketing organization, and we've had a pretty big shift. Johnny O traditionally has been a catalog company. So every month we'd send out catalogs really to thousands or millions of people and hope to get orders through that. And we still do that because we see that with our buyers, that's a very, very important way and tactic, but we've really shifted to more of a digital ecosystem in the marketing. So not only digital marketing, so all the paid and the meta and the stuff that you see online, but also athletes and influencers. I know we're going to talk more about it, Dan, but signing some tour players, some college players through NIL, even folks outside, like signing Mason Miller from MLB. We have Aaron Boone from the Yankees, manager of the Yankees as well. And really kind of expanding our ecosystem away from just traditional print into this modern marketing ecosystem. So it's been fun, you know, and I moved to Raleigh from Carlsbad, and we've really kind of built out an office here in Raleigh. We've hired a team. We now have 18 people in marketing, which is pretty exciting. So I'm loving it. I thought I would miss the equipment side more than I actually do. But I'm able to keep tabs by being on THP with all the comings and goings on the equipment side, but really focused on the apparel side now.
And you get the privilege of more than one season in Raleigh, so that's not too bad either.
Yeah, loving that. Loving being back. I'm from the East Coast originally, so being back on the East Coast has been great.
Awesome. Marcus, how about you as the SVP of design and product?
So my background is really textile design. So, you know, I kind of came up and, you know, I'm now overseeing all of Johnny O's product. So the design of men's, design development, merchandising, et cetera, men's. We just launched ladies about 2 years ago. So kind of just helping, you know, the resourcing, merchandising end of that, shoes and accessories as well. So, you know, season in, season out, there's about 1,000-ish SKUs, kind of what we're doing. But it's been, you know, I've been 10 years in, so it's been wonderful. Great company. We are just having a blast. And I think it's kind of exuded through not only, you know, the product, but also kind of the marketing as well you know, Dave coming on board and bringing the team in. So it's been a blast.
Yeah. 10 years seems like a short period of time, but I feel like in tech apparel or any type of apparel, things move pretty quickly. Yep. I'm already frustrated at how fast the baggy pants have returned to the public life. And, you know, it's one thing I'm really fascinated about for someone who's seen it for 10 years, it's probably easier to go back 20 or 30, but at least from the 10 years you've been there, is it curious or frustrating or fun to see the shift in apparel?
I love the shifts, to be honest with you. You know, you can only do so much in, you know, in one, you know, in kind of that, you know, the everybody went hardcore in performance. And look, I remember, you know, 18 years ago, sitting around the table in my previous company, trying to decide if we were going to do a polyester shirt, polo. You know, so it was all cotton, mercerized cotton, if you believe it, big baggy sleeves. And that was the world we were living in. And it was everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, people start putting out these polyester shirts and it just caught on like fire. And it went from there. And it's been like that ever since. Now, I think it's the really exciting thing now is cotton. Cotton feeling. I'm embracing it wholeheartedly, not because, you know, I'm a cotton guy. I think it's exciting to have, you know, reintroduce all this stuff to really a generation of people who had no idea that this was, you know, this is cool, or, you know, the great feeling of a cotton blended shirt, et cetera. So no, I think it's really exciting. It's a rubber band effect, just like everything else. And it's menswear. So it's not, you know, the revolutionary stuff is more in the actual material, the fiber, and then, you know, the details. You know, men's clothing, you know, is 24 base models. It's just the kind of material you use and the details that kind of put you to the forefront in the customer's face. It resonates with the customer and it can be marketed. So that's what's exciting. That's what's kind of coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I've always found it incredibly curious to see how a company will align with different materials. And, you know, it always feels like the company's either all in on something or they're, you know, dabbling in something. It rarely feels like a company has grouped up things to really support a style. I think the ability to have more than one avenue to go down, and, you know, I'm talking about the different material types alone, allows you to say, well, I'm a Johnny O guy, both on and off the course. But that can also relate to the types of fabrics that work together to wear both on and off, but also the types of material that work sort of against each other or opposite of each other that you can wear in slightly different setting. Is there a style that Johnny O prefers to live by, or do you like the idea of that sort of all-encompassing world?
I like the Dave will get tired of my elevator speech, but, you know, Johnny O really is, you know, we want to be able to dress our customer from Monday morning through Sunday night. And what that means is, with, you know, our different, you know, you get a Johnny O polo at a member guest performance polo, you go on the website, you start to buy more of those, then you're like, oh, they do woven shirts, or, you know, they do, you know, cotton pullovers or sweaters or sport coats, et cetera. We really want to get, you know, get our guys full share of closet. And we want him to come to us for every occasion in his lifestyle. So, you know, we want to have, you know, a products or collections for that lifestyle. I think we are one of the few brands that can do that. I think some of our competitors in the golf space are golf brands. And I think a lot of our customers, you know, 3 or 4 years ago thought of us as a golf brand, until we started really marketing the other things that we're doing, owning our own stores, showing the customer that we do way beyond golf. And this is kind of done in our way with our top spin is kind of how we talk about it. So, I think there's tremendous opportunity. I don't know that we've figured out how high is when it comes to, you know, tailored clothing or, you know, cotton pullovers or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think there's a lot of things that we can be doing and more we can be doing in, you know, everything from athleisure to tailored clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I think it's worth talking to your audience because it's a primarily golf audience. Just give them a little background on Johnny O. We're in 2,500 golf shops across the country, which is incredible. We're in PGA Tour Superstore, Golf Galaxy, House of Sport. from Dick's Sporting Goods. But we have this whole other part of Johnny O that Marcus was referring to. We're in over 700 specialty stores. So these might be like high-end men's stores, kind of those mom and pop shops, you know, that you thought were going away, but there's still a lot of them. We're also in Nordstrom's, we're in Dillard's, we're in Von Maur. So we're in these kind of high-end department stores as well. And then we have, I think, 16 of our own stores. Well, it'll be 25 by the end of this year. So really growing out our retail footprint. So depending where you see Johnny O, and then we have a huge e-com as well, you might see different parts of Johnny O. So if your THP guys are used to seeing it in the golf shop, you're going to see our club collection or our golf performance collection there. But the top shelf, which is our high end, is going to be in the specialty stores. Nordstrom's going to carry a mix. You know, e-com's going to have kind of everything on johnnyo.com. So we try to really extend beyond just being a golf brand. And we always talk about it in-house, Mark, is that, you know, are we a golf brand or are we a lifestyle brand? And the answer is yes, we are both. We're both. So we obviously have, I think, some of the best golf performance wear that's out there. But then this whole other part, our lodge collection, our coastal collection, our top shelf collection as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to push it over to you to ask from a marketing perspective. You're talking to a bunch of guys who see Johnny O in a pro shop and immediately do the touchy feely, like, oh, how does this feel? Does this feel like a golf shirt I want to wear, you know, in the hottest days and some of the more mild days? So we have a very specific optic that we bring to the table there, but there's an understanding that there is expansion there. And that's what I wanted to ask you, Dave, about when it comes to incorporating with not only that sort of lifestyle vibe, but also you have a lot of other sports that are being connected to it. So, you know, I'm looking at that, as I've already mentioned, the Toronto Blue Jays stuff. It's like, well, I'm looking at that as a golfer who wants to put my favorite team's logo on my golfer brand. Whereas I feel like a lot of other people are looking at that like, well, I'm going to look up my favorite brands or my favorite team's shirts options. And here's Johnny O, who's that? Maybe I'll try that one. Looks pretty nice. Is it easier for you on a marketing side to really get the full envelope there, or is it hard to reel it in?
Yeah, the Game Day collection, which is our different licensing collection, has been absolutely huge for us. So we have Major League Baseball, we have NHL, and then over 200 colleges and universities as well. And then the big addition this past year was NFL, and NFL has been absolutely huge for us. I wasn't sure, because, you know, NFL fans kind of all over the place, are they going to embrace the Johnny O? And they did in a big way. It's been massive. They're second now to just to our college business, and our licensed business is up over 58% over last year. So huge growth there. It is, as you were talking about, Dan, a way to get people into the brand. So somebody might be, say they're a Texas Longhorn, right? And they're going to a game, but they want something that's nice. They don't want to wear like a jersey to the game. So they want to wear Johnny O, and they try it out and they're like, oh, this is really nice. Then they see that we have wovens and button downs and golf shirts, and it kind of expands into those other categories. So we see a lot of that, of our first time buyers coming in through our licensed and Game Day collection. That's really important to us. And then there's people who are Johnny O loyalists, are like, oh shoot, you know, like me, I'm an Eagles fan. Now I can get the Eagles with Johnny O. That's awesome. So it kind of goes both ways, but really we see it as part of a kind of our new customer acquisition strategy.
I want to ask a challenging question, and listen, you guys don't have to answer it any way if you don't want to. But as a buyer of fan specific apparel, there's a lot of cut corners out there that exist. There's a lot of really cheap, really junky apparel. And with one benefit, you can get it for a fairly good price, and oftentimes it'll go on sale. That's not the Johnny O conversation. Everything I look at suggests that it's the same high quality you'd expect. But you're not price competitive to that like junky material. So, you know, I'd ask both of you guys if you want to answer this or don't. That's fine. I'm just ranting at this point about how bad a lot of the apparel is out there. Is it challenging or easier to compete against that type of product?
I'll take first shot, and then all right. Marcus, I think it's great for us, because in NFL, as an example, we were the first one in this premium apparel space to get the NFL license. And they actually told us we were the fastest from when it was approved to actually being able to launch it. So that went from April, and then we launched it in August. And yeah, I mean, the stuff is expensive, but it's all Johnny O, super high quality, and our embroidery is some of the best in the world also. So we don't want to compete with Nike and Under Armour and Fanatics and, you know, $20 polos, $30 polos or whatever. There is that niche of people who want that, but there's a lot of people who are like, I want the premium stuff, but with the NFL. And that's what I was talking about before. I was like a little worried that our NFL business wouldn't be that great because of the price points. Not the case. It has absolutely exploded for us. What do you think about the?
Yeah, just to kind of echo what Dave's talking about, I think, you know, it seems like everything that we've been kind of going after, or the process, or over the years, has been relatively serendipitous, because there's really nobody in that space until recently, until we kind of, you know, kicked the door down, that was at, you know, and, you know, I sound like I'm bragging, but at our quality level. And it made it even more special. So there was, we kind of talk about white space when it comes to design, merchandising, product, and events. Like, we're always looking for that white space. Who's missing the mark on whatever the product is? And the mark was definitely not being met there. So we were really excited. We're bullish on it. And let's be honest, it's not cheap to go, you know, take a family of four to a baseball game or a football game. So, you know, these are our, you know, kind of our customer anyway. Why not, you know, service that resource? So it's been incredibly positive. It's not easy to deliver, elevated product at the price points, but that's also kind of what makes us special, whether it's collegiate or golf or retail or, you know, specialty or wherever these points are. So I think that's certainly part of the magic of the brand too. Is we know where our competitors are, and for the most part, we know where our competitors are making their product. So we feel like we got a good feel. We got a great space at that $98 to $198 retail price point. And we're just going to keep going after it.
Yeah, quality is a huge point of reference here. And I only joke about it because, you know, I've been victim of the buy something on sale. It shows up and it's supposed to be a large, and it, you know, goes to my, doesn't even cover like my belt line. It's just so random. And from very reputable companies that have been around for a long time. But that's why they're selling it at that value. So I wanted to call to that because it's something I've dealt with over the last year, especially with my team going to the show, the big one last year. You know, I'm trying to buy up all the stuff I can, but I have to be incredibly picky based on, well, do I know the company? Is there any sort of consistency there? Does the material sound right? And I feel like that's the loops you don't have to jump through when you're looking at product from you. Like, there's a clear quality there. And you're just like getting that elevated experience with the benefit of having your team's logo on it, which I think is really cool.
One of the things that I learned from you, Mark, is you can talk about it. There's only a certain number of factories and partners around the world that can make things at the quality that we want. I think it's like between 30 and 40. Yeah. You know, people think you can make things in like thousands of different places, but to get the quality you want, like, you've been working with these partners for years.
Yeah, and it's relationship based. It's you know, knowing where to go. And then let's be honest. I mean, the tariff war in the past year has been kind of wreaking havoc on our business. So it's been difficult, but it's also, we kind of saw it as an opportunity, to be honest with you. It's like, okay, well, let's partner up. Let's share in this you know, this burden, and let's kind of power through it. But, you know, we've been growing so much that and we've got such great partners overseas that it was awesome. I mean, we've kind of grown through these issues, and it's been awesome to partner up with these folks and really kind of deliver great product, consistent product. You know, I can get into the product life cycle. You know, there's probably 12 steps from inception to production. So we're always looking at everything. We're checking the fit, we're testing the material, we're checking the details, we're testing all the accessories that go onto the product, zippers, buttons, etc. So if a product gets out there and it doesn't fit, like what you said earlier, it's too short or the sleeves are too long, we ask for the product back because we got a born on date on that product. We can go back to the factory that made it and say, this is when it was made. This is the PO it goes back to, and really go after the factory. And, you know, to Dave's point, to be able to make product for, you know, Major League Baseball, NFL, a lot of the colleges, there's certain factories, certain places you can't make that product. So that brings your world down to an even smaller number of places you can make these things. So, it's a challenge, but you know, it's, you know, we kind of see everything as an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled about it. It's nice to see it continue to grow. There's some people on the forum asking about the other sports network or sports that exist and you know, whether we'll see this, licensing thing grow or not. Dave, maybe you can tease that at all or suggest that you're pursuing or
NFL was a huge one for us. So last January we hired Heath Hooper as our VP of license, and Heath is extremely knowledgeable and experienced. He worked for Nike in licensing for over 10 years and then another 6 or 7 years with Fanatics in licensing as well. And he came in and he said, I think I can get you to NFL by the end of April. We're like, this is January. There's no chance you can do that. We've been trying to get this for like 3 years, and boom, he did it. And at the end of April, he was like, I've got the NFL. When can we sell it? So, but there's a lot that goes into that. Each of the NFL teams has specific colors. And you know, if you've got a blue for the Patriots, you know, you better not show up with the Rams blue for the Patriots, right? Same thing with the Eagles, Kelly Green. They are very specific about the green that the Eagles want. So we had to actually go with some of the neutrals, like the blacks and the grays with the logos. And now we're working on a new collection, the NFL, the Classics collection, which I know a lot of people are excited about that. So that'll be coming soon. So that's very exciting for us as well. So now we have NFL, we have MLB, we have NHL, and we have college, right? So, you know, the I guess the big one missing would be the NBA. But we've got, I think, so much growth with the NFL right now. And then even with the college, that's been growing tremendously fast for us with over 200 colleges. So there's a lot going on in licensed. And then they have what they call like a hot market, which means when the Super Bowl ends, you know, you can put the Seattle Seahawks with the Super Bowl champion logo out there and like being ready for that, or being ready for the World Series winner, like the
national
Dodgers,
championship,
national
too.
Championship for
Indiana football. Folks turned out.
Indiana was incredible. Yeah. They went from kind of like middle of the pack state for us on e-com to like number one for a number of months with the Hoosiers. So the Hoosier fans came out in a huge way for college football. And I'm sure with March Madness coming up, that's going to be exciting also.
Marcus, from a design standpoint, with all those different color references that Dave just mentioned, does that become a challenge? I know you have certain shirts that pair up, but there's got to be way more to it than that.
Yeah, for the most part, it's pretty simple because we kind of know what we're looking at. These are all materials that we're comfortable with. It can get a little difficult with you know, some factories that if you're dealing with heathers or getting the colors to match, et cetera. But we got a pretty good format and process through all this stuff. So no, it really isn't that difficult. You just got to pay attention to it. Again, we're auditing the factories, we're auditing the product. There's a lot of QC that goes in, you know, in the background before anything gets out into kind of the field. But no, it's been a lot of fun. I think what makes our brand so special in that space is the ability to, with the, you know, the custom prints. Again, everything we do is we try to do everything in house. So all the printed polos, I think the shirt you're wearing was hand drawn. So even in the, you know, the Major League Baseball, we have a custom print where everything's been hand drawn. And, you know, if you look close enough, you'll find little fun references. Same thing with the NFL, with Major League Baseball, or pardon me, with the collegiate stuff. So no, it's been a lot of fun, and you know, just kind of, you know, challenge the team's creativity with a lot of the stuff too. So it's and I'm a huge football fan, so that'll be a lot of fun. You know, maybe some things come down the pipe.
Awesome.
Back, so
it's a big win. All that, it's, I mean, we're thrilled to have it, but we are a bit of a golf podcast, so I'm going to push a little bit on the tour presence you guys have now. A couple big names in the stable at this point. How did that come about, and what's it been like working with them?
Yeah, so an interesting one for me when I came on was kind of looking at our tour roster and seeing who we had. And we actually had 41 players on our tour roster when I came in, but it was Canadian Tour, European Tour, Champions Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour Americas, and then a few kind of PGA Tour players. And it's like, wow. And most of these players we did not have contracts with. So it was more of a handshake deal and we were taking care of them. But if they win, we actually didn't have the rights to like use their name and activate them. And I was like, wow, we were taking care of so many different people, but we're not able to actually activate them. So as we were looking at the theme for this year, for 2026, we're really leaning into East Coast meets West Coast. And that's a big differentiator for Johnny O. So we're actually founded in LA, in Santa Monica. We do great out on the West Coast, but then really kind of the heartbeat of the company now is in Raleigh. And that really comes from Marcus and Chris Knott, who was on your podcast before, really building this out here in Raleigh. So we wanted to tie in East Coast meets West Coast. And we're like, who would be a perfect fit for the brand? So on the East Coast side, JT Poston. JT Poston, North Carolina, Hickory, North Carolina native. He lives in Sea Island. He loves to wear the quarter zips, likes to wear the button downs, look good, kind of like a Southern gentleman, great putter, you know, consistently in the top 50 in the world. He's won 4 times on the PGA Tour. It's like, okay, this guy is a great fit for our East Coast. So we signed JT. Concurrently, we're working on Jake Knapp. And Jake Knapp, absolutely perfect fit for Johnny O. Went to UCLA. Our founder, John, went to UCLA and played golf for UCLA, right? So they both played golf there. He's from Southern California. He's got the long hair. He's got the smooth swing. He's like the Freddie Couples of our generation. But as you know, he absolutely pounds the ball. He's in the top 10, not just in the FedEx Cup, but in driving distance as well. So we were like, this guy is going to be a great fit. So there is a lot to go into it as well. They have to be coming up and available on their contract. You have to negotiate the contract. How many years? You know, are they interested in the product? We sent them a ton of different things to try. JT was like super easy. You know, he tried the pants and he's like, I'm in. Everything fits. And we don't have to tailor anything. He's like a perfect medium. And he just loved it because he was really looking for an upgrade, particularly around the pants, but on the tops as well. And then Jake is, he loves to work out. People follow him. The guy's, he's jacked. He's ripped. So we needed this coffee run, this athleisure collection to really work well with him. Sent him a bunch of stuff to try. He loved it. So he's all in. So that's really our East Coast meets West Coast. We can talk separately about our NIL and college there. And then we've added some players around them like Scott Stallings, who's a veteran. We still have Kevin Streelman. We've got second-year guy Jackson Suber, first-year rookie coming from Korn Ferry, Trace Crowe, who's been hurt but is going to be starting in the next few weeks out on the PGA Tour. So put together a really kind of nice package of players.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I mean, it's one thing to play a company's product, golf ball, golf club, whatever it might be. I feel like the clothing is one of the most visible things that exist on tour right now. And if you can convince someone that you like the apparel, I mean, respectfully to Nike, I feel like they're working pretty hard to make me not want to buy their stuff based on what I've seen, but you know, they're that's probably not very nice, but that's fine. But you know, there's a level of quality and visual quality that goes into it. But I also think you've been flexing a little bit of your licensing stuff with the tour guys. Did I see Knapp wearing, was it an Anaheim Ducks quarter zip at one point?
He's a huge Anaheim Ducks. He's from Orange County. He's been a Ducks fan forever. He's got the Ducks logo on his bag. He's also got the Ducks logo on the collar. Obviously, he went to UCLA as well. So we said Genesis Open, that's his kind of hometown tournament there in LA. Why don't we go with the Ducks on the left chest for one day, go with the UCLA for another day. Then the weekend, we'll go back to the Johnny O, to the surfer dude. And we got a lot of buzz at it. I was like, I don't know if anybody will pick up on it, but they did. And there was a lot of interest. So we can have some fun with that. We even, that was part of how we pitched Jake when we were going into the negotiations, is we're one of the few companies that has the college license, also has NHL, also has MLB. So we can do those things. We can have some fun with it. A lot of other companies can't do that, but yeah, Jake is a huge Ducks fan, and hopefully he'll be in the Masters in the top 50 right now and looking to cook up something pretty cool with the Ducks for Augusta.
The UCLA blue is the best blue, too. Palisades yeah. blue is the best.
Powerful, so, yeah.
Good fit.
Well, Marcus, I want to swing that over to you because I feel like tour play is one of the best locations for people to make a judgment on design quality and material quality. You know, we're not 30 years ago. We're not seeing the things that are happening in the chest area to a lot of those materials. But if you do see it, it's an instant. Oh, I'm not buying that. So, so from a tour perspective, is there any better way to promote the kind of quality you're putting into the product?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, to be honest with you. You know, it can be. I think, you know, for something that I would think be great on a player, sometimes the player just doesn't want to wear it, or, you know, it, or, you know, if something happened to be sheer, then you kind of shot yourself in the foot. So you gotta be really kind of, you know, on point with what you're going to put on these guys. And I think we do a pretty good job of that, but what I've seen resonate with a customer with our golfers is, you know, texture. So I think you can see the texture online on when you're watching the cast. So, you know, we have some great products, Hoppin being one of them, which is kind of like a little corded stretch nylon spandex knit that I think you can actually see it on, you know, when you're watching the guy on TV. You know, we don't want to put the guy necessarily in a lot of sweaters. So we do kind of an elevated crew neck sweatshirt called Willard, which I think is a great product for on course, performs really well, looks and feels like cotton, is all man-made fiber, but real clean, elevated look on course. So now it can be a great positive. And like you said about Nike, you know, it's kind of funny. The stuff looks so bland. So if we can put a guy in, in a cool print, or, you know, like I said, a textured layering piece, it's a win, and he looks different than everybody else.
It's interesting the level of character it adds, and not everyone looks the same, which is really nice. But as I mentioned, you know, that adding the team relevancy into it, like that's an instant talking point, which I think is really cool. It beyond a pattern. I think the only other time you're likely to talk about something is if it looks bad or it doesn't look right.
Right. I think about when I was growing up, Payne Stewart wearing the NFL stuff.
Like, yeah.
We still talk about it. Yeah. Like, and cool. It was so different, and but he was wearing a new team every time. So when we put the Ducks logo on him, I just think that, you know, that totally, you know, sparked the Payne Stewart vibe to me, which was cool. It's a positive.
Yeah. I think it's great. It's an awesome addition. When it comes to current product and promoting the latest stuff, is there a better or best way to go about that, shifting perspective from what people really like to maybe something that's coming out?
You know, I always start a presentation going, whether we're talking about sweaters or pullovers or performance pullovers or polos, is starting with the main fabrications, usually going from lightest to heaviest. Cause you know, I think for most guys that's kind of intrinsically kind of tells them, you know, what he'll be comfortable in or what he's looking for. You know, we love to hear things in numbers and weights and, you know, all that stuff. Cause
GSM.
so, you know, I think for the average guy, it kind of shows him what he's identifies what he's looking for. Oh, you like this weight? Well, I have this in a cotton blend, or I have this in a jacket, or whatever it is. So, you know, that's a good way to kind of get the guy thinking about what he's wearing, how he wants to wear it, and the occasion he's wearing it for.
Dave, I want to slide that over to you and ask you a slightly different question about it. There are some products that start to have a life of their own. I mean, Coffee Run, if you use that word on THP right now, everyone gets a little excited. I think it has like a little bit of a cult following. I've touched it myself. It's a crazy, interesting material. How much fun is it to have something like that where people really latch on to?
Yeah, we've got a few products that are just kind of our signature products. And one is the Sully, which is the classic quarter zip plated, so double-sided there. Probably the best-selling product, I think, in the entire line.
Number one single product.
One single product is the Sully. Then you have the original four-button polo, which was John's, J-O-D, our founder's original polo with the pocket and the surfer dude there. It's a 95.5 cotton with a little bit of a spandex signature. But now, as you were asking, Dan, in the Coffee Run collection, the Hoppin' has become kind of a legend. I don't think, Marcus, there's anybody else in the industry that has that kind of rib nip type.
No, we're starting to get some folks kind of chasing it a little bit, which is, you know, you love to see that. If you know, the best form of flattery is you know, somebody copying what you're doing. But no, like Hoppin' has been. This is the material itself. Again, it's that corded nylon spandex knit. We do a quarter zip, a hoodie. We do a kind of a casual lounge short in the product. It's been a home run. You know, talking about Coffee Run, we have our coarse t-shirt leaning in. You kind of hear it from us, dry release fiber technology. And I'll kind of get kind of into a technical mode. But, you know, dry release polyester kind of cranks up the wickability and the cooling aspects of polyester, kind of takes it up to 10. So normal polyester is you know, man-made fiber. It's extruded through, you know, what looks like a shower head. Most polyester fiber is the same diameter, same length. What this stuff is made, it's different diameters, different lengths. So there's a little more open space in that actual yarn. So it acts more like cotton in that respect. So it cools you better. It wicks away moisture better. I really love this technology, and you know, you can kind of feel it as soon as you touch our coarse t-shirt. You can tell it is not your average, and not to poke fun at Nike, but your dry tech or whatever it's called. It feels and looks better. It is the best performance t-shirt in the marketplace, and you'll see, you know, down the road, you'll see, you know, polos and this stuff and that sort of thing. So you'll see this technology in our t-shirts, some of our polos and layering pieces as well.
I love it. I don't want to take up too much of your time today, gents. It's been a lot of fun so far. We had talked about doing a couple questions from the community. We had sort of preset this, and I got a lot of great questions, honestly, that were asked. We had to limit it to two for a contest that the good man Braxton's taking care of for us. So, what's that? If you don't mind, I'll throw a couple of these your way. I believe I have one for each of you, and obviously you can chime in if you want. And for those following along, if this is your question, we will make sure to connect with you. I believe there's something about an Azalea collection that just came out that might be connected to it. So
collection is right behind me.
If you're not watching this on video, you should be, because D Nevs is doing full on Vanna White show and tell.
Full Vanna White mode.
It's pretty electric. So let's get started with the first question.
Hold on.
Sorry. We got more. They look great. I got to tell you what. And you know what the best part about Azalea collections are? Everyone's already excited. The year's starting, like, and you guys are in Raleigh, so you're feeling the same thing I am in Ohio. The world is slowly opening its doors to the next opportunity.
It's game on. Yeah, we're excited. Big time.
That looks great. I love it. Any more for us, D-Nevs?
Oh yeah, I got the caddy.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The dad print. You got to be on video, folks.
This is a good question. You had mentioned a lot of them are hand drawn. Is that another one that would have been hand drawn?
All of these. Yeah. So this is cool. What starts as a little spitball session turns into, you know, all this stuff. So again, you know, I invite anybody who's buying our product, you know, take another look. Look closer at all these prints. I'm so proud of the team here and what they do. Because it's a lot of fun. And you know, it's goofy guy humor, the best way to put it, with some of these little elements we bake into the product.
So it actually worked out pretty good because I am 100% a, what do you call it, a member guest guy. I bought this at a course, touched it, and said, I have to have the stretch and material felt insane. And now that I'm looking at it, yeah, it's a bunch of hand-drawn trees, which is really cool. All right, let me get you these questions. The first one is, with so many companies selling similar items, how do you differentiate yourselves without straying too far from the status quo?
I'll take that one.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of touched on it earlier. Everything starts with the material. It's like baking the best cake or making the you know, five-star meal. It's in the ingredients. And I think that is a truly, you know, clear identifier when it comes to, you know, what we put in the pro shop and what our competitors do. And beyond that, like everything you feel from Johnny O, and you know, I'm really proud of this, everything you touch, whether it's the zipper pull or the button or the fabric itself or the yoke on the inside or the tail or whatever it is, it has to feel good. So, you know, that is the biggest differentiator, is the material. So it's got to perform, it's got to stretch, it's got to be comfortable. You know, mark of anything, and I wear everything that comes through here, you know, pre-production, so I can make immediate comments on it. And the test of a great piece to me is if I wear it to the office and don't take it off until I go to bed. You know, I'm like, this is a winner right here. But no, in all seriousness, it's all those little factors. And beyond that, I think what the customer and kind of what Dave and his team have been so good about getting this out to the masses is just all the little details that we bake into the product, whether it's the magnetized side pockets on a vest or your back pocket on performance bottoms. When a guy's on course and it's, you know, 45 degrees outside and he has one of our vests on, and you got that little detail, you know, that's just a game changer. You run around with the kids on a Saturday morning and you have that, your keys didn't pop out of your pocket because of, you know, it's like you're like, oh, okay, that it, I get it. Or the double zip front of a vest, or, you know, why do we yoke everything, all of our products, so that the label, you don't see the label on the backside of the shirt. It's not nothing that anybody would notice. But if you tell them, like, oh, okay, no, I get that, the quality. And having been in these, you know, traveled to all these factories and seen these processes, you're like, it's really amazing what goes into making a polo shirt. And you come away with a newfound respect of the time and effort put into all this stuff. So I would say those points are kind of the biggest differentiation between a Johnny O product and brand, you know, B, C, and D.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I'm laughing in the middle of that because you guys are basically pinning me to a wall here. I have an outer layer piece that I bought because I thought the magnets in the pockets were hilariously awesome. And you're like speaking into my soul. It's the second time this episode you've called me dead nuts, which is so funny to me. But I'll segue that a little bit to Dave, because you talk about marketing. For me, I'm a very tactile guy, and my experience with Johnny O has been directly in the pro shop. But I touch all of it. Like I have to know, what does it feel like? I try and look closely at some of the more intricate elements that exist in it. But tactile presence is an enormous piece of it. Feeling stretch is an enormous piece of it. Do you find that to be a little bit more challenging now that you're expanding on that e-commerce side of things?
Yeah, it is challenging. But one of the things that we try to do through our photography is you'll see a lot of thumbnails, like macro shots up tight. We talk about top spin, what Marcus was talking about, all the little details. Those are all called out on the website. But then the fact that we'll have 25 stores by the end of this year, and they're all over, spread throughout the country. So you can actually go in and try things on and feel and touch it. These stores, obviously, we want them to be profitable and to make money, but they're also a brand statement for us. And they're a chance for people to experience the brand. So that's the opportunity to kind of look, touch, and feel there.
Mm. Awesome. Let me get to that second question so we can get you guys out of here at a decent time. The question is, what goes into the decision to sponsor a PGA Tour player? Have you found that PGA Tour exposure helps drive sales if your guys are winning and the clothing line is getting shown on TV?
Yeah, so two parts to that question. The first part is, how do we decide which tour players? We talked a little bit about it before, but we actually have a scorecard that we put We started the scorecarding process, I think, like June of last year for 2026. And so obviously we look at their play. But one of the things we wanted to do is find players that could qualify for signature events and could qualify for majors. So we're really looking at players from number 25 in the world to number 75 in the world. So that was kind of our sweet spot that we were looking at. Then they have to be a good brand fit, you know, and there are certain players, they're great players, but maybe they're not a great brand fit. Like, we mostly sell in the U.S. We are distributed in a few other countries outside the U.S., but we're really looking for American players, you know, that would be a good fit. And then we talked about the East Coast meets West Coast as well. Then it's like, how long is their contract? You know, are they coming out of the contract? So there's a lot that kind of goes into it. And we do have a scorecard. We went through all that. We identified the top players, and we went after them. We got the two that we wanted, which was JT and Jake out of that. And then the exposure side was the second piece of the question. It's absolutely huge. I mean, Jake Knapp has had 5 top 10s since the beginning of the year. The guy has been all over, and Marcus knows this because we're texting about it. You know, my buddies and friends who are watching the telecast are like, Jake looks great in the clothes. Love to see Johnny O out there. And that was a missing piece for us, is that credibility of being out there on tour. We are in 2,500 golf shops, and we get pros and assistant pros asking us all the time, who do you have on tour? Haven't seen you guys out there on tour. So now this changes with players like Jake and JT, who are in contention, who are shown on TV a lot. So absolutely, it helps brand recognition, and it helps sales as well.
Let's be honest, I don't think there's a better PGA Tour talent scout than Neville over here. I think in retirement, that's where he's headed.
I love that. Yeah, it is fun to add that secondary element to the following process on tour, having that extra piece. Like, if you're a Johnny O guy and you see someone out there on tour wearing Johnny O, it's kind of working the opposite way, but than what you're talking about right now. But it's fun to be like, oh, I like that guy because he rocks what I rock. You know, it's a pretty cool thing to have that connection.
And we're able to do the fun stuff like we talked about Genesis with UCLA and the Ducks and getting ready for the Masters. You know, we feel really good about Jake being in there. We're also going to have an amateur, one, the Asian Pacific amateur, FIFA Laupakti, who's at Arizona State. Amateur superstar, and he's going to be wearing Johnny O as well. So it's cool when you have events like the Masters and you have people wearing your gear and representing your brand. It's great visibility.
And we've had great sell through at these major tournaments too. Maybe not the Masters, because, you know, that's a different deal, but, you know, whether PGA, it's waste USL, management, PGA, Ryder Cup. Yeah. It's really been amazing and an opportunity to sell different products. Ryder Cup, the team, we had a great time coming up with new ways to even do the Johnny O Surfer Dude on product with the red, white, and blue. 250th anniversary coming up this year. We've got a great product package coming out for that too. So all this stuff has been just awesome, and we're such a good brand for, you know, always say, kind of, you know, Johnny O is the guy you want to play golf with. You know, brand B, C, and D are the brand you have to, or the guy you have to play golf with. So, no, we're the perfect brand for that, you know, casual, that golf kind of fun lifestyle.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I appreciate the time you've given us today. I know everyone's excited. Every time a thread pops up on THP on the community, everyone gets excited talking about the things that are coming out. And most recently, the Azalea collection was shown, and people are getting pretty excited about the different prints. And now we have a real story, that they're not just something someone made on a computer. People are doing cool things and putting them on shirts. So, again, guys, I really appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be with you, bud.
Thank you.
Definitely. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun. And if you're in the pro shop, you should probably look around for some Johnny O. Be like me, just buy it based on what you touch and feel and like. Check out the magnetic pockets. It'll get you. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, THP fam. Another episode of Shaft University coming at you. This week's question is about hoop stiffness and how it affects feel. And that's a great question with our new Titan shaft launching. Hoop stiffness is how much the shaft ovalizes when you swing. If you think about a shaft as a circle, when it bends, it becomes an oval. That energy is lost, and it makes the shaft feel softer than it may actually play based on its EI profile. With our new Synex technology that we're using in Titan, We have that really soft butt section, but by wrapping the shaft with multiple layers of off-axis fiber, we increase the hoop stiffness. The result? A shaft that's about 10 cycles softer than what a traditional shaft would be at that flex, that actually feels a little bit firmer. So that's how hoop stiffness comes into play. The more hoop stiffness, the firmer the shaft is going to feel based on its EI profile. Hope that answers your question. You guys will see that in action on Titan. Go out and try that today.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.